This is Smart Tech, episode 1617. Google Duo. Is it Android's answer to Apple's FaceTime? Hello, and welcome to this new episode of Smart Tech. I guess if you're listening to this after another episode comes out, it's not really new anymore, but let's just go with that. It's new right now because I'm recording it. So welcome to the new episode of Smart Tech. I'm your host, Chuck Minear, and I want to introduce you to the newest communication app available for iPhone and Android, and it's called Google Duo. Now, Google already has a myriad of ways you can communicate with other people, Gmail being the most prominent if you want email. But we have YouTube, which is owned by Google. We have Google Hangouts, which is Google's idea of community and being able to talk to each other and kind of chat as a community. But Apple's had one technology that was kind of poo-pooed when it came out because it was very simple. But you know what? It works. And people use it quite a bit. And it's actually become like the, you know, Hunts of ketchup or Heinz of ketchup or Kleenex of tissues. It's FaceTime. And FaceTime just allows you to connect from one iPhone to another with a video call. Now, in FaceTime, you can also conference call, but to use FaceTime, you have to be calling an Apple device. You can be calling an Apple computer using a modern version of OS X. You can also be calling, you know, an iPad or whatever. It must be connected to an Apple ID or to a phone number. So Google is kind of jumping into that fray, and we also have, you know, other messaging apps for Android that try to do the same type of thing, but none with the power of Google. That's why we're mentioning them. So they're not getting rid of Google Hangouts, as far as I know. And let me just say something really quick here. One of the problems with adopting Google products, and I adopt Google products, if you send an email to smarttech.tv, chuck@smarttech.tv, which is our podcast email, it's a Google account. It's hosted by Google, and it uses our domain name. So I'm a big Google user. We use Google Apps. We use Google Calendar, and we use Gmail, like, you know, most of the country seems to do. So I'm not anti-Google, but one of the problems with Google is that Google tends to be innovative. In fact, so innovative that sometimes they'll just stop doing services the way they used to do services so that they can, you know, up the ante, which is a good thing. But if you're used to, or if you're using this as a way to run your business, and then one day it's broken, it doesn't work, whatever the service is that you're using for your business, it can really be a pain in the neck. And you do get what you pay for with Google. You get more than what you pay for with Google, which is usually nothing unless you're on one of their business plans. You can use almost all of their services for free or next to free. So they feel they have the right to get in there and tinker with stuff whenever they want to because you're not paying for it anyway. But there are whole other services and other apps that connect into the Google ecosystem. And when Google changes something or drops a service, it wreaks havoc in some people's lives. So just be aware of that when you use Google products, that there's a chance they won't be around forever, at least in the form that you see them now, which can be good or can be bad. So Google wants to jump in and take a chunk of the FaceTime business away from Apple. And it comes up with an app that looks pretty much like FaceTime. It's a messaging app. What's different is it's tied to your phone number. It is not tied to your Google account. So everything else, you know, when you log in for a Google, something Google, you have to give them your Gmail account address, your Gmail email address, and your password. And if you do that, then you can access the service. This particular one is the only one that I know of anyway that is separate from that, and it just uses your phone number, which is interesting. The other thing that's different in this service than other services is that it has what they call end-to-end encryption. There's three ways to send a signal, actually. One is unencrypted, which means it just goes along the internet, and somebody with the right savvy, the right tools or apps, if they can intercept that signal, they can read your information. So if you send a password through the internet to a device and that internet password is not encrypted, there's a chance that people can capture that password and they'll know your password or bank account number or whatever. So whenever you connect to a bank, you connect to a secure site or an encrypted site. And in encryption, there's two main ways that things are encrypted. One is that it's encrypted on the server. So, for example, if I'm connecting through Google Hangouts and Google is encrypting the signal, it's encrypting the signal on their server because there's multiple people calling in to their server and then they're feeding that out. And so they're encrypting the signal on the server if it needs to be encrypted. That is a good way of doing it, but the best way of doing it is end-to-end encryption, which means your phone, if you're calling on your phone from one phone to another, your phone is actually encrypting the signal before it leaves the physical device, and it is encrypted the moment it touches the internet, and there's a key that goes along with that, and that key is sent directly to the other device on the other end, which has the ability to unencrypt that, and nobody else can theoretically see that encryption. And so that's what end-to-end is. The phone on the other end then takes that key and it uses that to unencrypt the signal. It does this in a blink of an eye. You don't know what's happening, but it keeps your communication private. It's one of the problems that Congress has with Apple and now with Android. This end-to-end encryption is very hard for the government to intercept. At least that's what they say. I have a feeling they're doing a lot more than they say they can do. But you know, when we had the San Bernardino bombers and their phones, it truly was encrypted on the device, and it took a special bit of programming, a period of time, and a chunk of money for the government to unencrypt those phones and to be able to read them. And Apple did not have the encryption key. That's a big point. We talked about it in one of our episodes, which I'll link in the show notes. But the encryption key was not owned by Apple. So we have the same thing here, getting back on track. The same thing, because I'm a geek and this stuff is interesting to me, right? But getting back on track, Google did not invent a service here where they had access to the encryption the same way that Apple has given up its access to the encryption. Because frankly, neither one of these companies wants to be in the business of being subpoenaed by the government. I mean, when Apple was subpoenaed by the government, what the government wanted Apple to do was to pay programmers on their own, which are paid quite a good sum of money by Apple, to write a program just so they could trick those iPhones into unencrypting the messages on the phone that they wanted to get a hold of, and then the FBI could read them. That was going to cost Apple literally thousands and thousands of dollars to do, which seems a bit ridiculous, but Apple actually won that suit and was not made to do that. So the government paid an Israeli company to do it instead. And Apple was not real happy that this company was able to decrypt their formerly undecryptable messages, which is a lesson for all of us that probably if you want to keep something secret, do not put it online in any form. But let's get back to Duo. So Duo is this video calling service, and it's available for Android and iOS. So you can put it on both devices. So unlike FaceTime, which can only call an Apple device, can only call an Apple device, Duo lets you call Apple or Android and back and forth. So this probably won't take the place of FaceTime for Apple users, but it certainly might take the place of FaceTime or be added into an Apple user's toolbox so that they can talk to Android, which of course is the most sold operating system in the world. So you really want to be able to communicate between, you know, the different operating systems. So one of the unique features of Duo is a feature that they call Knock Knock. Now that gives you a preview of who's calling you by firing up the camera on the other end of the line. So if you're making a call, you'll see a little notice that says your video is visible, which means the other person can see what you're doing right at that moment. Where on FaceTime, if I've got a photo attached in my contact list to this person, their picture comes up on the screen, so I know who it is. But in Duo, you're actually seeing the other person. So make sure that when you initiate the phone call, that you are ready to go at that point and not, you know, picking your nose or something you don't want them to see. Now, Android users will see this whether Duo is opened or not. It just comes up on their main screen. It becomes like it's part of the OS. On the iPhone, you'll only see it if you're in the app, if the app is open and you're in it, and otherwise you get a normal notification, and you click on that, and then you can see Knock Knock. Now, Google's rationale for Knock Knock is to get you smiling before the call starts and also letting the other person know who's calling, which, you know, can be good or bad. I mean, you know, if you have a family members or loved ones calling you, you know, hey, that's cool. If you have, you know, your mother-in-law or your ex-boss or something calling you or your current boss, that might not be so great. You can disable Knock Knock, so you can make sure that people don't see what you don't want them to see in the settings. The interface of Duo is really simple. You open up Duo. Before you begin the call, you'll see icons to start the video call and your recent contacts. During the call, you'll see yourself in a small circle, and then you'll see also circle icons for, let's see, muting audio, switching cameras, and hanging up. Video from the other line fills the screen. And that is pretty much it. You can have your picture fill up the screen. You can have it give a white bar below with the buttons in it. So there's a couple different ways that you can see the features. So remember, Google is using Duo because it's more specialized. It's easy to use. Hangouts takes a little bit of setup. Once you've put in your phone number for Duo, it does not take setup. You just push on it, just like you do on FaceTime. It does reach people on their phone numbers and not their Gmail, so it only works with phones. And like any other device or any other app, it works as good as your Wi-Fi or your data connection is. If you don't have a strong Wi-Fi connection, then you'll get a pixelated picture or the phone will get dropped. It usually takes care of the voice before the video. So it gives priority to the voice is what I'm trying to say. So even when the picture gets kind of pixelated, you can usually hear the audio if you've got any kind of connection. But just realize it's, you know, it's going to work as well as your signal is. So there's loads of other apps, as we said at the beginning of the show. There's, you know, the biggest one, or the one that we all know about, Skype, which isn't as easy to use. It does take a little more setup, as I said about Hangouts. There's Facebook Messenger and other ones, but it's really just simple one-on-one video call. So they don't need special accounts. They just need the app. And so, you know, you might end up using it more. So I'm very impressed with it because usually nowadays people try to write apps that, you know, solve every problem or have all kinds of features in them. And this is back to the, you know, the origins of apps, which is kind of a one-off thing. An app does one thing and it does one thing really well. And Google has stuck with that with Google Duo. I don't think Apple users will be abandoning FaceTime anytime soon because it's built into the OS. But if you've got a lot of Android users or even one Android user and you're an Apple user, this may be something you want to check out. And if you're an Android user, you definitely want to check it out because it is definitely one of the easiest and most secure ways to communicate via video chat in the Android world. If you'd like more information on Duo, you'd like a link to it, you'd like to see some articles about it, you want to see a little sample of how it runs, et cetera, log in to our website. It's easy to do, maybe not as easy as Duo, but, you know, it's pretty easy. Just go on your web browser to www.smarttech, S-M-A-R-T-T-E-C-H, two T's in the middle, .tv. That's smarttech.tv. And you can look at the show notes about this episode or any other episode. We have several years of archived shows, and you know, there's nothing more fun than binge listening to Smart Tech. Yes. You don't even need Netflix. All you need is Smart Tech. We'd appreciate it if you tell your friends, because our biggest growth comes through word of mouth. Or word of email, or, you know, communication. You know what I'm trying to say. Or you could Duo it, you know? The first thing, get a Duo account and then say, hey, you know where I heard about this? I heard this about this on Smart Tech. Here it is. I'm gonna load it up on my computer. And then you turn your Duo phone around and you face the wonderful Smart Tech homepage. Or maybe not. But telling your friends is great. If you go on our website, we have links to our Facebook page. We would love it if you joined our Facebook page. If you're a Facebook user, if you're a Twitter user, you can like our Twitter feed, which is smarttech.tv, or Chuck Minear. Just Chuck Minear. That is my personal Twitter feed. Either one of them will get you Smart Tech info. We love your ideas for Smart Tech topics, so leave a comment on our website under the show notes or on our Facebook page. We read both of them. And remember, the website once again is smarttech.tv, smarttech.tv. Thank you for tuning in. So until next time, this is your host with a split personality. It's kind of a Duo personality. Hoping that this episode, yeah, that was really bad. Hoping that this episode makes you just a little bit smarter, or made you just a little bit smarter. I can't even remember the end about tech.